Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at something pretty transformative in robotics.
Yeah.
We're talking about how these really advanced robotic models are finally moving past the cool demos and achieving what you could call true mastery on really complex real-world tasks.
It's a huge step. This is where generalist robots start to become specialists, but they do it through practice.
Exactly, through practice.
Yeah.
So we're diving into the sources you sent over, focusing on this vision language action model. It's called PODO 0.6.
That's right, 0.6. And more importantly, the training method that gets it there, which is called ECAP. That stands for RL with experience in corrections via advantage condition policies.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is to really understand that jump. We know these general VLAs are good at following flexible commands, you know, make coffee, fold the laundry.
Sure, the basics.
But how do they get from just sort of imitating a human to being robust enough to handle mistakes, different environments, really long tasks? We're going to unpack how this ECAP system uses reinforcement learning to get there.
And that gap you just mentioned, that's really the core problem. A robot that only learns by watching a human, that's imitation learning. It's fragile.
It breaks easily.
Very easily. The second it goes slightly off the path of the demonstration, errors just pile up. So to get to mastery, that industrial level reliability, you need it to learn from its own attempts, its own mistakes, over and over.
And that means you need reinforcement learning. Scalable RL.
You got it.
And the results here are, I mean, they're not lab experiments. We're talking about a system that can reliably fold all kinds of laundry.
Not just a towel, yeah.
Right, button-up shirts, jeans. It can assemble factory boxes, and it can make espresso drinks for hours without a mistake. The big claim is that it cuts failure rates in half, and for the really hard tasks, it more than doubles throughput.
And throughput is key. It's not just about success. It's about speed and success combined. That's what makes it economically interesting.
Okay, let's get into the recipe then. So we start with a base model, this 0.6. It's an adaptation of an existing VLA model called 0.6.
Right, which is a pre-trained generalist. So it already has a foundational understanding of, you know, mapping language and vision to physical actions.
But just plugging traditional reinforcement learning into a model that big,
yeah,
that sounds hard.
Oh, it's incredibly difficult. And ECAP had to solve really three huge problems. First, just designing an RL method that's stable and scalable enough for these giant VLA models.
Okay.
Second, how do you handle all the different kinds of data? You have perfect human demos, but then you have tons of messy failed robot attempts, and then you have a human jumping in to correct things live. It's a real mix.
Sounds fair.
Finding a reward signal. How do you tell the robot it's doing well on a complex task where the reward success might be minutes away? It's a huge challenge.
So ECAP is the framework that takes that whole chaotic mess of data.
The demos, the failures, the corrections.
And it funnels it all into this structured self-improvement loop using offline RL.
Precisely. And the special sauce that makes 0.6 different is what allows that funnel to work. The model's architecture is slightly changed so it can be conditioned on what are called binarized advantage values.
Binarized advantage values.
Yeah, that's the little tweak that lets the model actually listen to the specific feedback that ECAP is generating.
Okay, let's try an analogy here to make this advantage idea a bit more concrete.
Yeah.
So imagine the robot is learning to fold a fitted sheet. Famously impossible task, right?
Yeah, for humans too.
The human demo gives it the basic idea. But to get better, it needs like an internal critic.
That's the value function,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the value function.
And that critic watches the robot's attempts and says, nope, that move was a total waste of time. Or, hey, that little tuck you just did, that actually got you way closer to a finished fold.
That's it, exactly. That how much better or worse was this specific action calculation? That's the advantage. And the value function is the absolute backbone of this whole thing.
So what is this value function doing technically?
ECAP trains what's called a multitask distributional value function. Just think of it as the robot's internal timekeeper and failure detector. It's constantly evaluating progress, flagging when something's about to go wrong, and predicting how much time is left.
But how do you create a universal signal for success when making coffee is so different from folding a shirt?
They did something very clever. They made the reward structure intentionally sparse and simple. Every single step the robot takes costs it 1 point, so a -1 penalty.
Okay, so it's incentivized to be efficient.
Right. A successful finish gets a reward of 0. A failure gets a big negative penalty. So the value function is basically trying to predict the negative number of steps left until it hits 0. And by normalizing that prediction to be between -1 and 0, they get a standard metric that works for any task, long or short.
That normalization is really smart for scaling.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's where these things usually fall apart. They have this amazing advantage calculation. How do they get that signal back into the giant VLA policy? The sources said that normal methods like PPO are a bad fit for these flow matching VLAs?
Yes, and that is the key technical problem they solved. Most of these big, powerful foundation models, including this one, use what's called a flow matching architecture.
Okay.
The simplest way to think about it is, instead of making tiny little adjustments to a policy like PPO does, flow matching defines a very smooth, continuous path, a flow from a random action to the perfect action.
That's more holistic.
Exactly, but it's also very sensitive. If you try to hit it with the sharp, noisy updates from a traditional RL method like PPO, it destabilizes the whole thing. It's like trying to fine-tune a delicate glass sculpture with a hammer.
So they needed to, whisper the instructions to the model instead of shouting at it?
That's a perfect way to put it. They sidestepped the whole gradient problem. Instead of using math to push the policy around, RECAP converts that whole complex advantage calculation into the simplest possible signal. A text prompt.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's called advantage conditioning. The policy is just given an extra piece of text, an optimality indicator. It's basically a true or false label that gets added to the instruction.
You're kidding. So the robot gets told, fold the shirt, and by the way, this is a good action.
That's literally it. The prompt might be advantage positive or advantage negative. The VLA learns to associate good outcomes with the positive text prompt and bad outcomes with the negative one.
So they're using the model's natural language input to sneak in the reinforcement learning signal.
Yes, it is incredibly efficient. All the hard math is contained in the value function, which is easier to train, and the result is fed to the VLA in its native language. That's the unlock. That's why this scales where other methods just failed.
That is genuinely an elegant solution. It respects the architecture of the big model.
And it was necessary. The papers show they actually tried the traditional methods like AWR and TPO on the same model,
yeah.
And they barely improved over the baseline. It just confirms that this text conditioning was the key.
Which brings us to the iterative loop. This isn't a one-and-done training session. The robot is constantly practicing. So walk us through that cycle.
Right. Think of it as a three-stage practice routine. First is data collection. The robot just runs the task autonomously. But, and this is crucial, a human is watching and can jump in.
They can take over.
Yeah, via teleoperation for just a few seconds to fix a big mistake or show it how to get past a tricky part.
So the human is like a coach in a safety net.
Exactly. Then stage two is value function training. All that new data, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the human corrections, it all gets pooled together to retrain that critic, the value function, so it gets even better at judging actions.
And then the final step.
Advantage condition training. The main policy, Boki 6, is fine-tuned using those new, sharper advantage labels from the updated value function, and then the loop starts again.
What about those human corrections? How do they make sure they're actually helping and not just adding noise? A human's correction might not be perfect.
That's a great point. And they handle it with a simple but powerful assumption. Any action that comes from a human intervention is forced to be labeled with a positive advantage.
So you just tell the system, trust the human.
Basically, yes. You're telling it that the human's advice is always helpful, and that really helps stabilize the learning process, especially in the beginning.
And you can see this practice paying off in the metrics, right?
Yeah.
Especially with speed.
For sure. The sources point out that for the really long box assembly task, it took a second full loop of this RCAP process to get that full 2x improvement in throughput.
So the first pass fixed the big mistakes.
And the second pass was all about refining for speed and efficiency. It lets the value function learn the difference between a path that just works and a path that's fast.
Okay, let's shift to the proof, the real-world tasks.
Yeah.
Because these are not simple problems.
No, not at all. Take the CAFI task. Making a double espresso can take 5 to 15 minutes. You have to get the portafilter, grind the beans, tamp them just right, lock it in the machine.
So many places to fail.
So many. Drop that heavy portafilter and the whole thing is over.
And the laundry task really shows off the generalization. You said it wasn't just folding one thing.
It was 11 different types of items. Think about how different it is to manipulate rigid jeans versus a floppy t-shirt versus a button-up shirt.
Yeah, completely different strategies.
And then the box assembly, that's a pure industrial task. It's all about precision, consistency, and speed.
So the big reveal.
How
good were the results? What were the numbers?
The numbers are stark. On the laundry and espresso tasks, our recap training more than doubled the number of successful completions per hour.
More than double.
Compared to the best possible imitation learning baseline, that's a massive jump in throughput. It makes the robot actually useful, not just a curiosity.
And what about robustness?
Yeah.
The failure rate.
They cut failure rates by at least half, sometimes more. The final success rate was consistently up in the 90% plus range. For tasks this complex, that's basically moving out of the lab and into the real world.
Which is why they could do those endurance runs, right?
Exactly. 13 hours straight, making espresso, folding laundry in a brand new house for 2 hours. You just can't do that without that level of robustness. That sustained performance wasn't possible before.
And it all comes back to that one core technical idea.
It does. It comes back to the advantage conditioning. When they benchmarked it against other ways of getting the RL signal into the policy, that simple binarized text prompt was the only thing that gave them stable, significant improvement. It was the key.
So to pull this all together for our deep dive, the 0.6 model, combined with this RECAP training loop, it really is a general recipe for reinforcement learning. It uses reward feedback and some smart human help to massively boost the toughness and the speed of these VLA models on really hard, real-world problems.
Right. It shows that for these big generalist robots, guided practice is the true path to mastery. This approach is one of the first to deliver a practically useful level of performance in these domains that have always been incredibly difficult for robots.
Okay, so that leaves us with our final provocative thought. The sources are pretty upfront about the current limits. The system isn't fully autonomous.
Not yet. It still needs a human for labeling rewards, resetting the scene after a failure, and a lot of the exploration comes from just the robot's randomness or those human interventions.
So here's the question for you to think about. If this system can achieve these huge gains doubling throughput, hitting 90% plus success, with what is still a fairly simple exploration strategy, and with humans helping to reset things,
right?
How much better will it get when the VLA models themselves can automate their own exploration? When they can learn from a failure, figure out what went wrong, and reset the scene all by themselves.
What happens when the robot becomes its own tireless self-improvement coach? That level of true autonomy? That's going to be the next great leap in robotic mastery.
A fascinating path forward to consider. Thank you for diving deep with us today.